live, at least somewhere in a parallel universe. It's the Age of Ultron. No, wait. Oh, it's the Mike Novak Show, where gardening runs smack into environmentalism and gets its nose broken every single time. I don't know what that means, but it's covered enough time to get me to the song. Everybody now.
Planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
On the show today, and welcome to it, thank you for joining me here on the Webernets. A couple of dynamic women who are doing nothing less than changing the world, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Lisa Albrecht was a fixture on this program for a couple of years. She's an expert on solar energy, a member of the Illinois Solar Energy Association, ISEA, and even though we don't get to it in the interview, she's a climate reality project leader. She's smart, dynamic, and plays a mean volleyball game. Today we talk about the Illinois Clean Jobs Bill and why the state needs to get off its butt and pass legislation that will allow us to get back to cranking out alternative energy like wind and solar. Now, after I talk to Lisa, I chat with Ashley Williams, who is the kind of person I would be proud of if I were a parent. She's a student at Illinois Valley Community College, who just won a couple of awards for her environmental activism. Mainly, it's about the rash of frack sand mines that have been appearing in LaSalle County, Illinois, turning it from rich farmland into moonscape. She's been one of the people who's kept me apprised of what's been happening there for 2.5 years. There are very few 24-year-olds who have her sense of mission, and we'll find out why in the second part of the show. That's all coming up today on the Mike Novak Show. If you get a chance, you're listening to this, send me an email, mike@mikenovak.net, and say, hey, I heard the podcast. I like what you're doing. I would love to, since I don't get the response live now, would love to hear from you. All right, let's get rolling. Now, I'm not exactly sure when I became a trendsetter, but it obviously happened at some point because the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine has a story that I covered on my program last year. Some of you might remember that I interviewed Joel Karsten, who wrote a book called Straw Bale Gardening, which has suddenly become all the rage. Who knew that you could take soil out of the equation and grow all kinds of things in a bale of straw? Well, that isn't exactly true. The idea is that you condition the straw in such a way that it turns into compost while the plants are growing in it. At the same time, it reduces weeding, insect and disease issues, and even the issue of bending over. The guy's a freaking genius. Speaking of geniuses, my column is on the inside back page of every issue. Someday I'll tell you about my conversation with the MacArthur Grant people. I kid you not, it's a true story, but I'm out of time. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, a publication of state-by-state gardening magazines. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. But if you're in other parts of the Midwest or the South, try one of the 21 magazines in those regions by going to statebystategardening.com. Or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Could an app be the answer to a better garden? Absolutely. It's the new free app, Homegrown with Bonnie Plants. Note, track, and photograph your garden's progress. Personalize your weather and reminders. Get variety info, grow guides, hands-free dictation, and more. The Homegrown with Bonnie Plants app, the sharpest tool in your garden. Download it free on the App Store.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too. Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time to bring back our alternative energy expert to the Mike Novak Show, and that is the lovely and vivacious and athletic Lisa Albrecht. Lisa.
Good morning. You know what? It actually has almost been a year, Mike.
Wow.
I headed to the beach somewhere mid-May last year.
And never came back.
You and I both said, you know, I was stressed out and needed to take a little break. And well, here it's been a year. That was not the plan.
No, but a lot of things in the intervening months were not the plan either.
This is true. I have become a policy wonk in the meantime.
And I have switched over to the internets. I need a new word for that. Some people call them the interwebs. I need to – I'm sometimes the – the Nevernet, I'm not sure what exactly we call it, but I need a new name for it. I got to get creative and clever.
We're going to need to spin that.
Yeah, every and that's as you you know, saying. And that's a great segue. Everything's about spin, as we find out in our world. And you mentioned that you've become a policy wonk, and one of the things that you have been working on. Is the Illinois Clean Jobs Bill, which is wending its way through Springfield. And I should say there are actually three bills wending their way through the General Assembly in Springfield, Illinois, about clean energy. And you're involved in that, in as you said, in a policy way, but also realistically, you know, and to in the interest of full disclosure, we should let people know that you work for Solar Service Inc., which is a company that produces solar products and installs. How would you describe the company?
Yeah, we are the last step in the solar process. So we are the ones that actually put the panels on your roof, get your system up and running, and get as much of your power off-grid as we possibly can and get you that energy independence that everybody would love to have.
And I'm, you know, and you and I have talked about this on my own roof, and you have said, well, you know, it's facing the wrong way, and you got these trees, and you got these issues, and I'm still at the point where I'm still not convinced that we can't do it.
The challenge is your dormers, Mike.
The dormers.
You have tiny little spaces, and a solar panel is roughly 40 inches by 66 inches. So I have a puzzle piece that I've got to, you know, Tetris up onto a roof. And the more obstacles that I have to work with, the more challenging it becomes. I love, you know, if I can find a big plane of surface area, then I can get the most efficient. But we can generally work with most roofs. Unfortunately, yours, because of the configuration of your roof, it's tricky.
That's not fair. That's just not fair.
We'll just put a new roof on your house.
Oh yeah, that'll work.
I got
some cash lying around. Let me just throw it at
the sawzall. What more do we need?
A sawzall? That'll do it. If you'll come over, if you'll put a new roof on my house, I'll come and plant plants in your outside of your court.
Deal.
In your building. But you know, and that's the frustration, because I'm always trying to figure out how the average citizen can benefit from solar, from wind, from alternative energy sources, because we have to get away from coal. There is movement in that direction, certainly in Illinois. Where do we stand? Talk about the three bills we've got out there and what we're looking at this spring session. Well, we're into May, so it's going to happen this month, right?
It's happening this month. Before I move into that, I'm going to backtrack just for a second.
Sure.
Talk about your house and your situation, because you're not unique. actually, when we look across the country, about 25% of the homes actually have solar capability, either because they have trees or the roof is facing the wrong direction, or like you, they have tiny little sections of the roof and not enough plain area. And so there is a new movement that's happening across the country, and we are working to make this happen in Illinois as well, called community solar. And if you think of it, it's very much like a subscription base. So maybe I would, you know, we've got brownfields all over the area, or parking lots, you know, just look at the grocery store or the library or, you know, something like that, or a big rooftop on top of a park district. So we have lots of areas that, you know, might not necessarily get developed. So you would actually admit, let's say as we look at your electric bills, you need 5 panels. And I look at my budget and I say, you know what, I can only afford 3 right now, but maybe in the future I can buy another one. Or somebody else says, you know what, I want to get as much of my power as possible, so I'm going to buy 10 of maybe these 500 panels. And so it would be a community involvement where multiple owners would have the asset, would own the solar panels, but they wouldn't necessarily own the whole field and it wouldn't be on their house. Now, that electron is not going into your home, but what you are basically doing is you are purchasing a micro utility. And as ownership in that micro utility, those electrons would be credited off of your bill. So we're working in order to make that happen in Illinois. So we're probably a little ways away in getting there, but the Illinois Commerce Commission is looking at some statutes that will help pave the way. We do have one piece of legislation that passed already, and we're working on, you know, looking to see what else we need to do in order to make sure that the utilities will be able to credit you back. So that your story's not over yet, Mike. So your roof is one hurdle. But we are looking to solve that. Colorado has done a tremendous amount to move this conversation forward when it comes to community solar. And, you know, if I can put in 500 panels as opposed to maybe 10 here and 15 there, it becomes much more affordable. And so we're going to continue pushing that needle, you know, even more once we pave that way. So right now in the United States, a solar array is going up about every 2 minutes. And we're installing more in a month than we did in 2010. So yep. As we continue to do this, it's going to continue to make solar much more affordable, much more available, and then we'll find solutions. So instead of having your car sit in the hot sun at the grocery store, let's put solar panels in that parking lot, and you can own those panels and figure out a way of really using the area that we already have wisely so that it has multiple purposes.
Yeah, they talk about the power of the sun, and you know, in 24 hours, it how much does it? I think you have this statistic. What kind of power can we get out of the sun?
Well, in one day, we could actually, just from the amount of sunshine we get in a single day, we can actually power everything that we need on the globe.
Okay, folks, listen to that. One day, all we need.
But instead, what do? We dig up things. We find the most dangerous, toxic, caustic, horrible, nasty materials, and we keep chasing that.
Right.
We just need a total mind shift on where we've been.
I don't know. And I think most people want to see that, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, solar actually has about an 80% approval rating with voters in the United States. So now we just need to make sure that we align policy with interest, and that's what we're working on in Springfield, because this is going to happen on a state level. Certainly on the federal level, we can have a lot of guidance, but because the power grid is so complicated in the United States, you know, when we look at third world and developing countries, I should say developing because I don't like the third world thing, so they're sub-citizens.
Right.
When we look at developing countries, they almost have an advantage because they don't have a grid, and their power needs can be addressed exactly where they're needed. Here in the United States, we have a very big grid. We have an awful lot of competitive players that have an awful lot of power, not just electricity, but they yield a tremendous amount of will in our political system as well. So, you know, so we have some hurdles to overcome, and we're excited about the piece of legislation that we have in Springfield right now, the Clean Jobs Bill. It actually has 3 major components. The first, which of course different groups will say there's this first. Of course, I'm always focused on renewable energy. So in Illinois, we have a very broken renewable energy policy. We've managed to stumble along and still do a little bit of solar. We're doing no wind. Illinois used to be fourth in wind, but because our policies are broken, we've developed nothing in the last 2 years.
Wait a second. Let's stop right there. That seems insane, especially because I keep finding reading about how cheap wind energy is. And when you drive in Illinois, you see wind turbines everywhere. What happened in the past 2 years?
Well, so the what we have currently is called a renewable portfolio standard. And what that is back in 2007, we enacted a bill that will actually pave the way so that by 2025, 25% of all of our electricity will come from renewable resources. There were some economic assistance that was built into that through some ratepayer programs working with the utilities. But those shifted and really kind of broke as we moved into municipal aggregation. When, like, for example, the city of Chicago left ComEd and went to a competitive supplier, it shifted how the money flows. And that meant in the marketplace that we were no longer able to buy the renewable energy credits from wind farms or from large solar developments. Our goal was that small solar would actually start happening right about now. But because this tool is broken, and we've been working in Springfield, anybody who's heard me talk before has probably heard me talk about fixing the RPS,
right,
the renewable portfolio standard. So we've been working, and we have not been successful in getting that passed. But we feel like this new piece of legislation not just fixes it, but improves upon it.
And this is the kind of thing, Lisa, I think, that discourages the average person. When they listen to what you just said, they say, well, this is so complex. Why is it so complex? Why aren't we just moving forward towards renewable energy sources? And how do things get stalled? And how do we end up in cul-de-sacs? And why is it so complex? It shouldn't be this complex, should it?
It shouldn't, but at the bottom, when you look at, you have entire industries that have a tremendous amount of investment of doing things the way we've always done them. And wind and solar are disruptive industries, or disruptive technologies, for a couple of reasons. One, it shifts us away from the fossil fuel model. To me, I have no idea why all the utilities on the planet are not putting this stuff in as fast as they can. I mean, if I have a product that once I get past my initial investment, my fuel source is free, why would I not be building that as fast as I could? But for whatever reason, they seem to be blindsided or focused myopically, just headed one direction. We are seeing some utilities in the Southwest starting to develop more and more renewables, owning wind assets. NRG is a big one, where they actually own wind, solar, coal, nuclear. They own a little bit of everything. And as some of their older assets, their fossil fuel assets, are retiring, we're seeing some of these big utility companies moving forward. Even Duke Energy in the South is actually now doing 330 megawatt systems, which are probably about enough to power 4,000 homes or so, solar in Georgia. So we are starting to see a shift, not as fast as I think that it should, but solar could be owned on a utility scale, an industrial scale, or a residential scale. So there's a lot it's complicated. Electricity and power is complicated. You have a grid, you have, interstate regulations, there's all kinds of things. So, but I'm excited. We're moving forward.
All right.
We need to make sure Illinois is part of that.
That's Lisa Albrecht, who is our alternative energy expert for the Mike Novak Show. Also, with the Illinois Solar Energy Association. Explain what that is and how they're involved in the bill wending its way through the General Assembly.
Yeah, so Illinois Solar is a nonprofit educational organization. Our primary goal is to educate the public on the value of solar technology, both on just, an enthusiast level, an ownership level, or even we have courseware to help people become installers or professionals in the field. So we're primarily an educational-based group. I've been on the board of directors since, I think, 2007, took a little hiatus, joined back in 2010. But as an installer in the region, I realized that, you know, we need better policy. And so Illinois Solar Energy Association has actually carved out a section where we have a policy committee specifically committed to looking both at a municipal level as well as a state level to make sure that we have all the right tools in place to make sure solar can be in individual communities.
So let's talk about the bill. And as you said, there are three. You're concerned with one in particular. What bill is that?
So on the Senate side, it's 1485.
Okay.
We have a concurrent bill running in the House. That's 2607. And the three pieces are renewable energy, which is both wind and solar. Right now, I mentioned that our renewable portfolio standard requests that we are 25% clean energy by 2025 as a state. This actually bumps that up. We are way behind that, but we recognize that that's not enough. And so this bill will actually take us to 35% by 2030. So it ups the game quite a bit. And that is important because we need to tell the market, hey, Illinois is serious about this and we're in for the long haul. And that will bring the businesses and the jobs and the investment dollars that we need in order to bring this technology to fruition. So that's one part of it. The second part of it is all about energy efficiency. Illinois does a pretty good job today with energy efficiency programs, but we want to improve that even more. And so our goal is to improve our energy efficiency by 20% by 2025. Right now, Illinois is doing a good job, but there's some caps, there's some thresholds, some ceilings to what we can do. And so this bill actually addresses those and really opens the door so that we can partner with utilities and have more energy efficiency programs, helping homeowners save energy so that they're saving on their bills, but also so that we're consuming less. You know, the best electron ever is going to be the electron I never used. And so as we look at consumerism, we need to make sure that we are using less of our resources. With 7 billion people on the planet, we have to think wisely about what we're doing, and energy efficiency programs will do that.
But you also have a couple of competing bills, and that sort of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
Well, and we anticipated when we introduced our bill early in February. And we're pretty sure that, you know, there were going to be competing bills. The first of which is called the Exelon bill. And basically, as many of your listeners are likely aware, Exelon currently has 6 nuclear power plants in Illinois that they claim are no longer profitable for them to run. And so this bill would actually create, it's interesting, the way that they have structured this is that they've looked at the renewable portfolio standard and said, well, that actually works pretty well. So what they've created is what's called a low carbon portfolio standard. And so instead of it being clean energy, what they're saying is low carbon, with the idea that, of course, nuclear energy will be the best solution for that.
Of course.
Now, they say, of course, that renewables, you know, since we're clean, we would qualify. But the way that Illinois buys power is through a competitive auction. And so if I'm competing against a nuclear power plant that was built 30 years ago, I'm probably not going to be competitive at that level as I go into an auction. So it's unlikely that renewable assets would win as the state would procure that. They also want 70% of all of our power to come from low carbon sources. So I don't really quite understand how the math pencils out on that and how it's not a bailout. They say it's not a bailout.
Well, a number of people.
Sure seems like a bailout to me.
Well, it seems like a bailout to a lot of people. Citizens Utility Board looks at it that way. And I think even a number of editorials in papers in the state have said that it's basically a bailout for Exelon. Well, what's the third bill then?
The third bill is ComEd came out with an introduced bill.
And let me stop you right there, because Exelon owns ComEd. So you've got an Exelon bill and a ComEd bill?
Correct. Exelon is the parent. And then ComEd is one of the part of the distribution process in Illinois. So they have, when we look at the grid, there's the upper part of Illinois, which is through the PJM grid, and then the lower part of Illinois, which is called MISO, M-I-S-O. And so ComEd is actually the PGM delivery. So they own all the wires. And they bring, and then they also will, you know, sell you electricity. But they are, you know, they have the transmission lines, to everyone's home. And so they have their own bill right now. And that bill, the primary part of that bill, there's a few things within it, but the primary part will look to restructure how we pay for our energy in Illinois. So right now, if you look at your bill, homeowners at least, it's a little bit different in the commercial market, but when you look at your bill, you're being charged a delivery fee. That's your line charges. And then you're also being charged a consumption fee. Those are your kilowatt hour charges. So if I am incredibly efficient, my electric bill is going to be a little bit lower. So what ComEd is looking to do is change the rate structure to shift some of those variable rates into your fixed rate. So fixed rates would go up, variable rates would go down. They claim that their math will be good for consumers and that it will save people money. But again, my belief is always the kilowatt hour you did not use is the best kilowatt ever. So I don't exactly understand how this bill would be good for energy efficiency and renewable energy if there is no economic incentive for people to make those changes in their lifestyle.
What are you doing now to make sure that your bill gets forward? I know that you've had various events around the state to talk to people about this, haven't you? ISEA has done that, right?
Yeah, there's a tremendous coalition, actually. It's the Clean Jobs Coalition, Environmental Law and Policy Center, Wind on the Wires, NRDC, the Illinois Environmental Council, which I believe you've had Jen Walling on. To talk a bit.
Yeah.
So there's a huge group of both NGOs as well as private businesses that have stood up behind this bill. Mayor Emanuel is behind the Clean Jobs Bill, as is labor. And so we have a tremendous amount of support. Unfortunately, it's very easy, you know, legislators, I don't envy legislators. They have to be experts on everything from mental health to prisons to transportation to energy. And so it can be quite confusing. So these are three huge bills on the table right now. And unfortunately, it's created a lack of inertia. So there's some stalling that's happening as people say, whoa, we need to look at this larger picture. The Clean Jobs Coalition, however, says, you know what? Even within Governor Rauner's transition team, he recognized that the renewable portfolio standard is broken and that wind and solar are not growing at the pace they should. And so every branch of government has said, let's fix the RPS. Unfortunately, these other two pieces of legislation are stalling that, and people are saying, oh, we should look at something comprehensively. Well, in my opinion, and I can't speak for the coalition, but the challenge here is that improving wind and solar has absolutely nothing to do with nuclear. We should not be intertwining these bills at all. This is something that voters want. This is something that consumer advocate groups want. This is something that industry wants. If passed, and this is the really exciting part about the bills, if passed, the Clean Jobs Bill will create 32,000 new jobs a year, Mike. Now, name an industry that is growing at that pace in this economy. So now these are electricians, these are roofers. On the energy efficiency side, these are insulators, these are window people, these are professionals who can go into your home and find where you're losing energy and make sure that you're not. These are also accountants, lawyers, bookkeepers, marketing people, every aspect. And so a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, jobs numbers, everybody's got a job number. Well, these numbers came out of a study that was conducted by the Illinois State University. And what they discovered is not only will we be able to create 32,000 jobs a year immediately, we would also generate $21 billion, billion with a B, of new investment in Illinois. Remember, we have serious cash flow problems. So that's money that would be taxed. Mm-hmm. So we could bring that to Illinois over the life of the bill, as well as $12 billion in energy savings. So this bill has tremendous opportunity at every angle that you can look at. And frankly, it just should not be mired down by the other two bills. This is a tremendous legislation that needs to happen right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at, and the Citizens Utility Board says that estimated customer savings through the legislation would range from about $1.1 billion to $2.2 billion. The total cumulative residential savings would be about $1.61 billion. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
And the average electric bill reduction would be 7.86% annually, and the average residential savings would be $98.38 a year, close to $100 a year.
Exactly. So our bill will actually create savings to people. It will create taxable base to people. The other two pieces of legislation are going to be more expensive for consumers.
Well, I think
isn't an upside here.
Yeah, I think we know that coal is, you know, that's got to stop, and the Obama administration has been working toward that, and states have, because we know that that's a dead end. Some people look at nuclear, but the plants are all old and in disrepair. Mm-hmm. And there are no new ones being built, and there's been no real advance in technology. Japan has sort of backed off from that whole thing, and I don't see nuclear as the answer. Obviously, it's solar and wind. And as you said, why would you not take advantage of solar when once the initial outlay is done, you're reaping the benefits from a free energy source? That just seems crazy.
Well, and you know what's so funny? Because there's a big myth out there that solar is expensive, and it is an investment. You know, it's not something you can just go to Target and buy. You know, you're looking at, you know, a 3-kilowatt system, which is about 10 to 11 panels. You're looking at somewhere around $14,000. Well, that's not chump change.
No.
But we do have some incentives that will help to pay for it. But when I look at the 25 years, so solar panels have a 25-year warranty. How long does your toaster last, right? So we have obsolescence already designed into our products, but not for solar. So solar panels actually have a 25-year warranty. When I look at the amount of energy I will produce, and here in the Midwest, we have snow, so I look factor in 30 years of historic weather data, I can actually, as a homeowner, produce my electricity cheaper than I can buy it from ComEd today.
Wow.
Today.
Yeah. Except,
so when people say it's expensive. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but the exception, of course, is me and my house.
But we're going to get you community solar, Mike. It's not tomorrow, but in the next couple of years, we're going to get you an opportunity of buying a subscription program, community solar.
But before I let you go, I cut you off there, but the idea is you're saying is that if you look at, you could provide your energy cheaper than ComEd right now. Unbelievable. That's a good way to end that.
And if it's a business, you can take the federal tax credit, you can take depreciation. You're probably, you know, several cents on the dollar cheaper to produce your own energy than if you're on the grid.
All right. That's Lisa Albrecht. If you want more information about the ISEA, which is the Illinois Solar Energy Association, what website should they go to, Lisa?
You can go to illinoissolar.org. And while you're there, we have got a couple of events coming up. On Wednesday, May 6th, we will be hosting Solar Lobby Day. If you can't join us for that, we're hosting several legislative socials. And what that is we're actually having legislators go to a house with solar panels on it. And so you can come, hear about the bill, you can hear about the technology, you can talk to your lawmaker and tell this lawmaker that this is important. Many of these lawmakers already are sponsors of the bill, and we need them to know we appreciate their sponsorship. So illinoissolar.org, and if you look in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see our upcoming events.
And you guys are also on Facebook too, right?
We are on Facebook, yep.
And if they go to Facebook, it's Illinois
Solar Energy Association.
Yeah, so it's just, you got to spell it out. It's not ISEA or anything. Just spell out Illinois Solar Energy Association. Lisa Albrecht, this is great. I'm so glad to talk to you again, and good luck on this, and I'm sure we'll chat in the future.
Thank you so much, Mike. Keep up the good work.
You too.
Captain's log, Stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf.
Mr. Data, be more specific.
Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak, I'm familiar with his work.
Of course. Attack of the Killer Asparagus is required reading at Starfleet Academy.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Gwynoc of Ningladore.
Captain, shields are failing.
Thank you, Mr. Worf. Mr. Data, options.
Captain, it seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener, taking all our self-delusions, mishaps, and confusions and playing them for big laughs.
That's not very helpful, Mr. Data.
No, it is, however, highly accurate.
Don't quote me, but I think there was a spring sighting this week, maybe even today, which means that you're starting to think about having a beautiful landscape. Or maybe you should have been for the last month. Anyway, if you're listening to this show, you probably want to be kind to the environment, too. So how do you balance that? By using Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer. For more than 85 years, Milorganite has been practicing sustainability using natural organic material that is not based on the petroleum industry. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding, and it's safe for your children and pets. In fact, Milorganite is the nation's oldest recycler, and it works. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you. My interview with Ashley Williams comes up in 30 seconds.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakening Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com or call us today at 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I haven't visited LaSalle, Illinois in a while, and when I say visit, what I mean is talk to some of the folks there, because I have been following what's been happening in that part of Illinois for several years now. I can't believe it dates back to 2012, so we're going on 2.5 years, and it involves something related to the fracking industry. Those of you who are familiar with my show know that fracking is booming in some parts of the country. It's been stalled in other parts of the country, as in New York, the state of New York. In Illinois, it's still kind of up in the air, and we'll find out a little bit more about that in a second. But one of the things you need to know about fracking is that it needs certain things to happen, meaning chemicals and high pressure, and a little thing called frac sand. And unfortunately for the citizens of LaSalle County, their land happens to contain some of the best fracking sand in the world, which means that in the last few years, there's been a frac sand rush to that part of the state. Actually, it's happened in Wisconsin, Minnesota. I just read an article where Iowa is being encouraged to do this. And one of the people who's been keeping me abreast of everything that happens in LaSalle County is a woman named Ashley Williams. And I'm very pleased to have her on the program today. Ashley, how are you?
Hi, Mike. I am doing fantastic. How are you?
You should be doing fantastic. and I'm okay, by the way, not to ignore your question, but you should be doing fantastic because you've just been the recipient of a couple of awards. Do you care to tell me what those are?
Yeah, that is correct. I was recently recognized for PTK. So Phi Theta Kappa had recognized me as a New Century Scholar. They pick students from every state, and I was the one to represent Illinois. So I received that, and I also got a scholarship of $2,500 for that. Alongside with the scholarship bundle, I was recognized for their 2015 All-USA Academic Team, which is sponsored by Coca-Cola. And I was also just on Tuesday night recognized for the All-Illinois Academic Team in Springfield.
That's fantastic. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
And it's important because Ashley is a student at Illinois Valley Community College. For those of you who don't know, that's in Ottawa. And wait, you're from Ottawa. Where is the college exactly?
In Oglesby.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah. So but you know. In the area, and you've stuck to the area, and there aren't the point of all of this, and my having you on the show, is to point out that when you talk about environmental issues, and you know this because you're out there on the front lines, you find a lot of people like me with gray hair and who have been fighting these battles for a long, long time. And you don't see as many people like you who are, how old are you now, Ashley?
24.
I hate you for that, by the way. but that's okay. You're allowed to be 24 and well accomplished. But actually, I'm very proud of you. And the idea being that here you are, you took notice of what was happening in your own community and decided to speak up about it. And that started with the frac sand issue, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. When I made my personal plea to Governor Quinn at the time to intervene and stop the Mississippi Sand frac sand mine from opening directly adjacent to Starbuck State Park.
So you started a petition and you got 16,000 online signatures, which you then presented to the former governor, right?
I launched it at the end of May of 2013 and did my petition delivery July 31st.
Uh-huh. And that just kind of got the ball rolling, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And from there, that entire summer, I started to become more involved with the community, attend the local hearings, and then at that petition delivery, I also did a press conference and got some of the local media out. I think you even did an interview with me before to, you know, get some more people out there. And then from there, it just ballooned, and it turned to not only just this local issue involving Ottawa, but, you know, Utica, Peru, Earlville, LaSalle. So it's no longer just this local issue. It's grown, and now we have this diverse network of activists from all over the county and beyond.
Well, when you say beyond, are you in touch with people in other states who have gone through this as well?
Yeah, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I mentioned, they're feeling the same issues or dealing with the same issues. And that happens to be that these sand mines are not in the ground. They're open ground mines for those people who don't know that. The sand blows around as it's being mined. Often the companies are in violation of safety regulations. I saw an article just recently in the past couple of months where there's a settlement with one of the mines in your area. Do you have that information?
About with Northern White Sand?
Actually, it was with
Quality Sand.
Quality Sand, right, correct.
Okay. Yes, yeah, I know exactly what you're referring to. Yes, Quality Sand product of LaSalle. Yeah, so what happened with that was the Illinois, the PCB, the Illinois Pollution Control Board, they had imposed a civil penalty of about $38,400 for environmental code violations against Quality Sand products. And that was actually filed by the Attorney General's office back in March. And, I mean, these violations, they include, I mean, there's a big chunk of them. Constructing emission sources without a permit, air pollution control equipment without a permit, there was water pollution, creating water pollution hazard, all these things that they failed to actually submit alongside a stormwater discharge associated with the construction site. So right now, the settlement stipulation is dated April, it's April 2nd,
mm-hmm.
And I guess if the Illinois Pollution Control Board wants it, there will be a public hearing at a later date, but right now it has not been scheduled.
And this all kind of started because of a proposed mine outside of Starved Rock State Park, which is iconic in Illinois. It's the most visited state park in the whole state of Illinois, on the Illinois River, has beautiful canyons, has a lot of sensitive wildlife, has been protected for a long time, and across the road from the state park is been planned this frack sand mine. What's the status of that at the moment?
It's actually right now the three environmental groups that had filed suit against the Mississippi sand, that's still actually being battled out in the courts right now.
Yeah, and that's going on 2 years now.
We don't have an update right now.
We
don't have an update right now. It's still being dealt with in the courts. There is a little bit of movement by the site. There's some machinery being moved around, but that's about the extent of it right now.
Do you go out there from time to time to the various sites and reconnoiter and just see what's happening?
Yes. Constantly monitoring.
Well, you know, Who would do that? I mean, and that gets back to my original point when I talked about your awards and the fact that you're 24 and you're still in college and you're doing this. I imagine you don't see a lot of your college friends at board meetings when they are discussing these issues.
That is correct. I am very unique to my school and, maybe to my, generation in general. Not many students want to square off with the sand mines in the area.
And, why not? Why not?
I don't know. I don't think they want to be labeled as an environmental hellraiser. And I see that as a term of endearment. but, a lot of people don't want to stir the pot. I love it, and it's what brings me joy is to serve the community and to protect them from the bastardization of our environment. But not many young people do. So it has been one of the greatest challenges in this is trying to get the youth of our area to want to stand up with me. But it does definitely present a constant challenge in my journey.
I imagine it does. And for those folks who have never lived near this or haven't been reading up about it, how does one of these sand mines affect the quality of life in the area?
From every kind of aspect you can imagine, in terms of the air quality, more recently with Northern White Sand, although they came into a compliance plan with the EPA. They're continuing to violate and emit fugitive dust into the air. So the air quality is always at risk. And it's actually almost foggy conditions at times when the winds are high enough to where the fines, they're razor sharp. And it just creates this foggy effect and affects even driving conditions.
And we're talking about here. Let me back it up so folks understand. When you say foggy, we're talking about particles of silica in the air. Silica, which has been shown to be carcinogenic, and it's flying through the air. It stings. I was out there with you, right? And you were gracious enough, and some of the other folks out there were gracious enough to take me on a tour of the area, and we went to a bunch of sand mines and I got blasted with that stuff. I can remember standing out there and the wind was blowing and it was stinging my face and stinging my legs because it was a warm day and I had shorts on. This is the everyday life for people out there.
Oh, absolutely. Even more recently, we've had a lot of high wind episodes by Northern White Sand in particular. And, we're all the community out there, they're, with their handheld cameras, and taking pictures of this in hopes that, they haven't even had to provide. There's no monetary fines against that particular company yet. Even with the episode in the fall, when they were found in violation by the IEPA, they never had to pay up.
Why not?
Still, they continue to pollute our air.
Why not? I have to ask, why? Why are they allowed to do this with impunity? Why do they continue to get away with this?
Exactly. And that's the question on top of all of our minds is why can they demonstrate these recurrent episodes of non-compliance?
And I noticed... I've noticed that it's, you know, sort of the in the news, and this is what happens to stories like this, is that things quiet down. You guys are still living there. You're still putting up with it, except that there nobody, you know, there's nothing major happening, except that you're living your lives and trying to deal with silica dust in the air. But there's very little in the news. I mean, I haven't done a story on this in a while, so I guess I'm partly to blame myself. And yet this, you guys have to fight it on the ground every day, don't you?
Yeah, we're always there constantly on the front lines. I mean, another issue as well as the air is the traffic. And something really interesting is we recently, Senator Sue Rezin of the 38th District, she actually recently kind of sided with us and surprisingly introduced a bill. It's Bill 1803, and it's requesting a traffic study of the effects of mining in particular, but also agriculture, industrial, and manufacturing operations. It's going to be focused in LaSalle County as well as some of the neighboring counties. And it was actually approved by the Senate Commerce and Economic Development Committee, and it's going to return to the full Senate for more deliberation. But yeah, she actually recently introduced that bill, and you know, we are really proud, and we're backing it 100%. Because I travel, you know, down Route 6 every day to IBCC. That's my route to school, and I'm constantly having to deal with traffic congestion. I'm having to zigzag through the sand trucks just to get to school on time. It's really backed up, and it affects our everyday lives constantly.
I will vouch for that, because when I went down there to look at that and you guys gave me the tour, we got stopped. We got stopped by a train and sat there for and this was in the middle of the week. OK, for 22 minutes a weekday afternoon, a sunny day is what I meant to say. And we're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we get into town. And the little town of Utica, and there's a street that goes onto the main street. You can't get onto the main street because there's so many trucks, and there's just one after another, and you know the idea that your legislator is going to do a study on this. You know what my response is? Well, la di frickin' da. There's a lot more that needs to be done than a study about whether there's too many trucks. There's needs to be studies about whether this is killing people, and it's reducing the value of their homes. There's many people got bought out. Others cannot be bought out. That has created friction. It's just a mess.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a good start. We're not saying we're completely satisfied with it, but we do back the bill. But we do want to see more. We want to see more out of our legislators. We want to see more out of the county board. We want to see them step up, even our local officials. I also did want to tell you, and I don't know if you're aware of yet, but in terms of the latest elections, Matt Jarab was elected mayor of Utica. You're well familiar with the former mayor. Lori Alvarado, and her ways, her pro-sand mining ways. Matt Jarab has actually, you know, demonstrated time and time again that he is an advocate for the environment. He voted consistently against mines, in particular Aramoni, as well as Northern White Sand, which was the first. So we think that, you know, it's a victory for the people and the environment for him to be elected to.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. And you know, you need to have champions, and obviously you're a champion, and now you are moving forward and going to go to school at Loyola in Chicago, I understand.
Yep, that is the plan. I will be transferring in the fall to pursue my major in environmental policy at Loyola University Chicago.
Which is great, because it is a wonderful place to study environmental policy. A lot of good stuff going on there. You're going to be in my neighborhood. I mean, not in literally. I'm in down in Logan Square, and you'll be up in Edgewater. But I mean, it'll be good to have you there and learning how to help even better, even more efficiently, the people in your neck of the woods in LaSalle County. And I would hope you'll be able to apply that to other states where they also have this problem. I know Wisconsin, as I mentioned earlier, has some of the very same issues that LaSalle County has. And, you know, Minnesota has started to have some of that in Iowa, as I mentioned. Congratulations, I guess, are in order to you. What's, aside from moving on to Loyola, what's your next environmental step? What's going on in LaSalle?
Well, in terms of, we have a lot of hearing. We have actually a hearing coming up on Monday, if we want to make your viewers aware. It's actually Monday, May 4th at 6:30 p.m., mm-hmm. and I plan to be there. It's going to be at the Pooh City Council headquarters. And this is regarding the proposed sand transport facility that is going to be located north of I-80.
All right.
And this is Northern White Sand and Illinois Railways facility. And so they will be hearing the public at 6:30 p.m., and then it's going to be followed by a 7:30 meeting of the regular council, and they hope to approve it within that 7:30 meeting.
Well, let me ask you a question about that before I let you go. How did the people feel there? You've been doing this battle has been going on, as I said, for about 2.5 years, maybe longer. When do folks get so tired they give up, or are they continuing to fight?
Oh, they're continuing to fight. Absolutely. I mean, we've seen some along the way, especially maybe in terms of Mississippi sand. Become so exhausted. But, you know, now we do have the three environmental groups battling on the courts on behalf of the public. Currently, like in terms of the people by Northern White Sand, the community of Northern White Sand, they're not giving up despite they're not being bought out. They're going to stay here and fight like hell and see justice served. And in terms of me, I mean, I'll never stop fighting. Same with my group CORE, Conserve Our Rural Ecosystem. We just actually formed the nonprofit more recently, and it's just been registered. And we're dedicated to this issue and, you know, fighting it for years to come as long as we, you know, see fit. So we're not going to give up.
Good for you. Where did you get this from? Where does this attitude come from? Yeah.
You know, I think to myself, I don't, you know, I'm pitching myself every day and wondering where I do get it. I don't know. It really just hit me when I started reading the papers and seeing what was happening in terms of Mississippi sand and the Star Rock. I just saw this, you know, possible mass ecological discrimination that was being waged on our community, and I got angry and pissed, and I saw that none of the youth were standing up, and I said, well, why can't I be the voice of the youth of the area? And so, you know, I assumed that role, and ever since, and here I am today.
Well, environmental award winner, student, activist, Ashley Williams, I'm honored to know you, and I hope you keep up the fight. I'm looking forward. Maybe you and I can have a cup of coffee when you're in Chicago. But meanwhile, I know that your heart is going to lie with what's going on in LaSalle County, Illinois, and I'm going to continue to keep track of that too. I'm not going to lose track of what's going on there. I think I'm impressed by the fight that everybody has put up. So thanks again for all your work, and I hope we talk again real soon.
Thank you, Mike. We definitely will, and we will have that cup of coffee.
Okay, great. Thanks.
We continue.
You can find more information about the Mike Novak Show at mikenovak.net. That's MikeNowak.net for links, photos, and commentary.